Welcome to the City Current Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Park. This weekend, we're covering Operation Feed, so companies giving back to support the Mid-South Food Bank. We also get to talk a lot about the movie industry and great things going on, including a production that's got some Mid-South roots. So a lot of fun conversations on giving back and media. We're going to kick it off with Dana Brooks. She is the COC Planning Director for the Community Alliance for the Homeless. How are you doing, Dana?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. So we get to talk a lot about giving back, the work you're doing, and obviously focused around homelessness here in the Mid-South. For starters, though, give us some context and a little bit of history for the Community Alliance for the Homeless.
Sure. So our organization is the lead organization in Memphis and Shelby County that oversees all of the agencies that serve our homeless population. So we have housing providers that get HUD funding. We have mental health providers, and all of those programs are monitored by us. We provide technical assistance and essentially lead effective practices in the city to end homelessness.
So on your end, it's the support network, it's the resource center, but it's also too kind of an umbrella to make sure that everything is done in a strategic and effective way. Is that fairly accurate?
It is. We pretty much facilitate all of the HUD requirements, so everyone is working on the same system.
Give us an idea. I mean, already in my head, I'm thinking of so many different organizations, everything from Dorothy Day House to Memphis Union Mission to Salvation Army. I mean, there's so many different organizations that have kind of a footprint in helping to combat homelessness. Give us an idea of some of the organizations, though, that you work with.
Some of the organizations that we work with? Well, we've got a lot of housing providers out there. So we've got Promise Leasing. Alliance Healthcare has two programs, Stay and North Hill Woods. We have Shield, Inc. We have MIFA, does a lot of rental assistance for our families. We've got Friends for Life, which is more HIV, AIDS positive clients. And the list goes on. We have about 23 different programs.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, and that gives listeners an idea. I mean, just with that explanation right there, that's a huge, broad, you know, swath of different services. Talk about, on your end, kind of some of the nuances, because I think it's really fascinating. When you look around the nation, every city is really struggling with homelessness. And obviously, it's taken on a very different meaning since 2008, where you have families. And so it's not the stereotypical drug addiction, alcohol addiction. I mean, these are families who've been, you know, temporarily lost their job, and next thing you know, they don't have the money to pay their rent, and so they're out on the streets. Talk about it from your perspective in terms of that changing face, but also to just, you know, some of the things that you guys are learning in this process.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of economic crisis going on. And so in the last 10 months, we've provided rental assistance to almost 283 families. And we have two different systems in place, one for families and one for singles. We've also housed 219 singles in addition to 532 veterans. So certain systems focus on certain populations. And all of that is kind of overseen by a coordinated entry system. It's actually called coordinated entry, which is kind of a fancy term for a mainstream crisis response to people coming into the homeless system. We've worked really hard to make sure that we're identifying everyone out there. Before, it was kind of an unseen problem. Now we have a lot of tools, a lot of reporting tools. You can actually go online to our website and report someone you see experiencing homelessness, and it will alert us immediately, and we dispatch outreach out there within 48 hours. So we've really honed in on making sure we identify people quickly and get them housed quickly. We want it to be, you know, homelessness is never going to end. There's always going to be a cycle. But we wanted to create a system of coordinated entry that gets them in and out very quickly. We want all episodes of homelessness to be rare, brief, and non-recurring. So that's kind of the goal for all of our programs.
So when you talk about, you know, what you're doing, you've got all these different layers, and explain kind of how, is there a dynamic where you get to benchmark or share best practices with other cities across the nation? I mean, how, you know, because obviously you've got the local, and to get them right back in is huge in terms of the rapid pace. How does that compare with other cities? Is there a way to benchmark that or share best practices?
We do. So HUD requires all of our agencies to have certain benchmarks for performance. And those are performance measures that are graded every year. And we have to reapply for our funding every single year. So with that, we take statewide COCs. So Tennessee has a handful of COCs as well. We meet in Nashville quarterly. There's actually a meeting tomorrow. So we're always constantly trying to share, especially with the fact that HUD requires or releases new regulations all the time. So it's a constant uphill battle of keeping up with the regs, making sure our programs are following the rules. Other COCs have to implement this coordinated entry as well. And so we were actually one of the first to do it. And so other COCs call us frequently, you know, how did you do this? Any recommendations for implementing tools in our area? And we do a lot of conference calls, lot of conversations.
But I think that's good. I mean, I think this is one of those things where on both levels, I think it's really important to know that this is something that, you know, like I said, every city across America struggles with this, and you want to be able to support your citizens and help them. And so it's how do you do it in the most effective way? And I think when you look at it and not working in just a silo, but being able to share across the state and across the nation these best practices and these ideas, everyone's learning. And so, you know, the things that you're doing very well here in Memphis, if we can share that with these other cities to help them and vice versa, then we all win.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the grants are actually multi-city. So, you know, a grant may come out of Nashville and we'll split it with Memphis. So we do a lot of partnership with Nashville, Knoxville. There are multi-counties out there like Jackson, West Tennessee. Those continuum of cares are multi-county, but they still have the same needs and the same homeless populations out there. So we share systems.
What would you say? I think this is something that, you know, people ask all the time is, how do I get involved? And so I know, I mean, you listed off some great organizations like MIFA and Meals on Wheels and working with seniors directly. And they have, like you said, a number of programs that combat homelessness, especially being able to help with rent assistance and things like that. But what are some ways that you think, just based on your experience, the public can help? And when you talk about helping those that are homeless and getting them back on their feet, what are some things that you've seen just in your experience?
Well, we have three main things, but the biggest for me is they're called move-in kits. So the funding that we get from HUD is used for very specific purposes. A lot of it is rental assistance and some of it is utilities. But you have to remember, these people have been on the street for 15, 20 years. You know, we have chronically homeless individuals out there that are very vulnerable. They get into an apartment and don't have so much as a fork. And so we provide move-in kits, which are the basics, a pot, a pan, basic set of forks, silverware, cleaning supplies, toilet paper, but that runs out very quickly. And a while ago, we did get a private donation that allowed us to actually fully furnish one-bedroom apartments for a year, and that money ran out, and we've since started from scratch. So we actually have a campaign on our website called Brighter Days, and that's what it is. It's to fund those move-in kits, to get them that needed furniture, couch, bed, kitchen table, things that you and I take for granted.
Is it on the financial side primarily, or is it something where, you know, for those that are getting a new couch and they say, hey, here's one that I think could be put to good use with a family or someone, you know, on your case, is that a proper use of it? Is repurposing or giving, you know, in-kind donations?
We get that question a lot, and our challenge is we don't have anywhere to store it.
Gotcha.
So we can contact a housing provider immediately and see if there's an immediate use, but if there's not someone that needs it at that moment, we don't have anywhere to store it. So
Gotcha. It's
kind of a challenge
so
for
us.
So
the financial really is the best way, obviously.
Yes.
So talk about it from a, you know, kind of a logistics standpoint in terms of volunteerism, activation, you know, are there other ways that we can help your efforts physically, you know, for those that are listening and say, hey, I want to be involved in this. Where do I start with you? Obviously, the financial contribution to be able to help with the furnishing, but are there any other ways that we can help?
Yes. So it's required by HUD to do an annual point in time count. We call it the PIT. And it's one night in January. It's every single year. We go out at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the entire purpose is to identify people sleeping outside so that HUD can kind of get a snapshot of what our need is in the city. It takes hundreds of volunteers. It's something that Community Alliance actually facilitates. And then all of the providers in the city participate. And it's really eye-opening. We get some of the same volunteers that come back year after year. We get some volunteers that come in there just like, I had no idea that's what it was like to experience, you know, because we do. We go under the bridges. We get in the nooks and crannies of Memphis, and we try to make sure that we're accounting for everyone out there. And it's really an emotional morning. We start about 4 a.m, and we do certain shifts, and we cover certain territories. We map it out with local police precincts. It's a very organized event, but it takes a lot of manpower.
What's the, are there age restrictions? Are there, I mean, I'm thinking there's probably 18 or up maybe. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is. It's 18 or up. Now we do provide toiletry bags and we do give away certain items, blankets and things like that. And those are kind of things that school projects can do prior to the event and they can help us stuff the bags and things like that. So.
Nice. We're talking with Dana Brooks, the CSC Planning Director for the Community Alliance for the Homeless. And when you talk about the Homeless Coordinated Entry System, you kind of mentioned this, but talk about how, you know, we as the public, I mean, you mentioned if you see someone, here's kind of how you can help out on that regard. But describe that process in terms of how we can help activate on that side.
Sure. So for us, it's just crucial to know who's out there. You know, you may be in an area where you see the same person every single day under the bridge, but if you don't report them to us, they could go unnoticed for years. And so we use the online sighting tool. It's on our website, cafth.org. You go on there, you click out, it's the have you seen someone outside button, and you click on it and you actually give a full description, location, what they're wearing, if they have a dog, you know, all of that, phone number. You can even take a picture if they will consent to it. And when you click submit, it goes to four different staff members, and then outreach will go out there and assess. The system of coordinated entry is anyone experiencing homelessness gets the same assessment tool. It's fair and equal access. We prioritize based on vulnerability, kind of like an emergency room. And so everyone gets the same assessment. Everyone comes in and gets prioritized the same way. And then we do a match to the housing need and a housing appropriateness, which is also really important for housing sustainability.
Right.
So that's kind of how the system works. We have one for individuals and youth, which qualify 18 to 24 for HUD guidelines. And then we have one for families. But they're all coordinated the same way. And it's been eye-opening for us. We implemented coordinated entry officially last July, and the numbers are outstanding. I mean, just identifying them. From HUD standpoint, on a regulation standpoint, we have to know as a city how many people come in every single month as newly identified homeless and how many people get housed every single month. And that's my job. That's our role.
Give us, I mean, you don't have to name the specific stats, but give us an idea of just a range. I mean, give us an idea of just the magnitude of what you're talking about. I mean, I know, like I say, I don't expect the exact number. We're not quoting you, but, you know, give us an idea of just, you know, even if it's a broad range, just how many are we talking about?
Well, I can say in the last 6 months, we've done 255 assessments, and that's just singles. That's
gotcha.
Not families. So, you know, families, like I said, they've provided rental assistance to 283 families in the last 10 months. So it really varies. We have, what I love about our system is it's really a no wrong door approach. Everyone in the community has been trained on this assessment. You can go anywhere and get told the same information. So the consumers are not given the runaround. We want to make it as least frustrating as possible for them. And we want to get them at some kind of intervention quickly. So there's veteran specific services, and then the families, and then the singles and the youth.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. Tell us a success story. Because, I mean, obviously on your end, I mean, you kind of even just the numbers, but give us an idea, because you do get to see this. You don't have to name names, obviously, but just give us one success story in terms of why you love what you do and the impact you're having.
For me, I think people don't understand the magnitude of the little things. You know, I assign housing to people all the time. Some people have been homeless for 30 days, but some people have been homeless for 22 years. And it's just the key, giving someone a key to their own home. And we do anywhere from one bedroom units to family size, depending on the client. Giving someone their key, having someone walk in the door and just say, okay, this is mine. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to sleep tomorrow. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to eat tomorrow. You know, that is just, it just melts your heart. I mean, I had someone who I had been working with for months, and we finally got her to agree into housing because it is client-centered, and sometimes it can take a while when you've got severe and persistent mental illness and alcohol and drug use and everything else. It can take a while to get someone to actually agree to that kind of transition. And when we assigned her the unit, she said, "Can I have a lamp?" And you just don't think, you know, a lamp is something that's huge for her.
Right, right.
So those are the things to me that are just heartwarming.
Wow. So talking with Dana Brooks, COC Planning Director, Community Alliance for the Homeless, You mentioned the website before, but go ahead and tell listeners where they can access the information, where to go, how do they follow the conversation, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Okay. So we have a website. It's cafth.org. Our homepage is where you would do the siting tool. And then we also have a calendar of all of our COC meetings on there. Lots of useful information. MIFA actually has a 24-hour hotline. So if you know anyone experiencing homelessness, you can call this hotline 24/7 and they will get assistance. And that hotline number is 901-529-4545. So those are kind of the two entry points for us.
And the website, again, is basically the initials. So
yes.
CAFTH, which is for the Community Alliance for the Homeless. So CAFTH.org. And Twitter, Facebook, it makes it really easy too. It's CAFTH Memphis and then Community Alliance for the Homeless on Facebook. So plenty of easy ways to connect. Dana, I greatly appreciate all you do here in the Mid-South and for coming on the show and sharing. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.